Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
If you're visiting, we just love having you with us. And like I said, my name's James, and I'm going to be bringing the message this morning. And it is my privilege to do that. But before I do that, I'd love to tell you about some things that have been happening. This year, we have already said goodbye to the first quarter. Can you believe that? I can, because it's been massive. Usually, pastors go, "Can you believe it?" But actually, I can. Pastors should have faith. But this year, we've seen some amazing things happening in the life of our church, and I want to tell you about a couple of them. Last weekend, we celebrated Easter. Friday and Sunday were the biggest Good Friday and Easter Sunday services we have ever had as a church. Hands down. Yeah, it's amazing. More than that, we didn't just put on a service. We love giving people the opportunity to respond to God, and this is what happened. Over the course of that weekend, Friday and Sunday, we had 546 people make a decision for Jesus. Come on, that's awesome. Yes. At North last Sunday, we had baptisms, and at 9 a.m. we had 18 people registered for baptisms, which is incredible. By the end of the 11 o'clock service, we'd baptized 30 people, 12 more people. That's cool. Yeah, you clap that. Let's go. It's worth clapping because it's not just a number. It's nice to go, "Oh, wow, those numbers are really big," but those numbers represent one person. One person times 30 people, 30 lives saying, "Yes, I choose to follow. I'm going to publicly declare my faith." Pretty cool stuff. Now, I just love that we're part of a church that is experiencing what God is doing in and through us. It's a very important distinction to make that God is doing something. These are exciting days. North is growing. In a few short months, we're going to bust out the back here, and you won't see it for a while because we're going to build on the outside and then break through. It's kind of like that Doors song, eh? "Break on through to the other side." I don't know if he was talking about church, but Jim Morrison, you know, surely. God is doing amazing things. And if we catch it, He will work through us to build His church. And it's got to be that way. We can't do this on our own. It's probably me saying that to myself. But I wonder if you've ever had a time in your life where you felt like, "I don't know what's next." Like, you might get excited by those numbers and go, "Oh, yeah, that's cool as a church, but I've not quite felt my place yet." Maybe today's message is for you. When I was growing up, I had no idea what I wanted to do after school. Anyone with me? Did anyone go through school and be like, "I have no idea"? Anyone still have no idea what they want to do with their life? That's cool. Great. Awesome. You're in good company. I remember sitting in year 13 art one morning at Hamilton Boys High School, and we were doing like the still life thing, the drawing or painting, whatever it was, and we were all hanging out there, and our teacher had gone away from the classroom. And that's always good times, eh? Anyway, in our still life, we had an old boot, you know, a fruit bowl. But at a boys' school, you had to have plastic fruit because otherwise we would have eaten it. And on top of the still life was an old guitar. And I played a bit of guitar, and the teacher was gone. I was like, "Boys, it's time. Let's have some fun." So we ended up singing the Honey Puffs TV advert in art class. It was great, but I didn't realize that the teacher had left our one door and she came back through another door behind me. And so when it finished, she started that kind of slow clap like, "You're in so much trouble." Anyway, I turned around and she said this. I didn't get in trouble. She said, "James Hannah, you would make a great primary school teacher." And that was it for me. I was like, wow. See, she spoke purpose into my life that day. I turned up to teachers' college thinking, "Okay, cool, I've left school and now I'm back at school. And I'm training to go back to school." It was a bit weird. But I remember hanging out with all of these people at Teachers College, and they kind of announced to us, we're all sitting in this big lecture theatre, you know, one of those university-style ones with the big kind of amphitheatre kind of thing, and I was really excited to be learning. And they said, from tomorrow, we're sending you into schools. And I was like, what? So they basically threw us in the deep end. But they didn't throw us in to teach, thankfully. They threw us in to observe what was going on. You see, I went from being someone who had no idea what my future held to being someone who went, okay, cool, primary school teaching. And then when I turned up there, they threw me into the classroom to show me what it was really about. Now, we didn't teach, we observed. But as we walked through the training, I started to get a better idea of what this took. Now, when I think about that, that is a great picture of our own faith journey. We have no idea, some of us, before we meet Jesus, what that whole thing is about. See, I didn't turn up to Teachers College and get thrown into the classroom and teach and be awesome at it straight away. No, I needed to train. I needed to look and observe what a classroom looked like, how it worked, what a teacher did before I became an actual teacher. And the same is true of our faith journey. We don't become super Christians overnight when we become a Christian. We need to observe. We need to see how it's done. We need to have a little bit of experience on our own as we step into all that God has for us. And so today I really want to focus in on that. We're going to look at what it means to be a disciple. And it's quite a Christian-y kind of word. But I'm going to dig deeper into that word today and give you some tools to practically live out what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And I hope it's helpful. But our verse today that we're going to speak from is this, is Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, and it's called the Great Commission. It's Jesus' last words to his disciples before he ascends into heaven, and it says this, "Therefore, go." This is Jesus speaking. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen? Cool, let's break this down a little bit. Verse 19, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Make disciples. These guys have been Jesus' disciples for 3 years, and now he's saying to them, it's your turn. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We did that last weekend. 156 people across life got baptized last week. More people got baptized, and more people have been baptized here at Life in the first 3 months of this year than the entirety of 2023. Isn't that incredible? Come on, let's clap again. Make disciples. The next part of the verse goes on to say this. He's telling them, teach them. Teach these disciples everything to obey everything I have commanded you. He's saying, I taught you guys. Now it's time for you to teach others. Now, this is really key because today I want to dig deeper into this word, disciple. Because if we're not careful, it can be one of those words that we use but don't really fully grasp. Have you ever had a word that you that you use a lot but you're not really sure what it is, and then someone says something to you one day and you're like, oh, I get it. For me, that word is breakfast. Breakfast, I grew up eating breakfast most days. I was like pretty happy with that word. I'm like, yeah, breakfast, 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 breakfast. And then one day in my 20s, this is embarrassing, in my 20s, someone was describing to me how, you know, you eat your dinner at 6 o'clock the night before and then you don't really eat anything, and then you go to sleep and you go to bed and you sleep and you're kind of fasting during that time, and then you wake up and you break the fast. And I'm like, no! Anyone? You're all way too intelligent for me. Maybe a couple of you. That moment, a light bulb moment, that epiphany moment of going, oh, I get it. I am praying that today will be that moment for you with this word discipleship. So we're going to unpack it a little bit. You with me? You're paying attention? You're all ready? You ready? Need to do a little stretch or anything like that to keep yourself awake? Cool. I hope not. Cool. We're going to call this message today, we're going to call it this, because I want to shift your perspective about discipleship. So I'm going to call it Disciple Shift. You guys reacted way better than the 9 a.m. Holy moly. Here it is. Just to be clear, this is not me being clever. Okay, I have not come up with this. This is me kind of relaying a message from the ages. And if you want to know more and dig into more about discipleship, these great people, great modern thinkers, Christian writers like Dallas Willard and John Ortberg and John Mark Comer, and these guys love this stuff. Better at it than me, but here's what I grab from it and I want to share with you today is this. The word disciple appears 269 times in the New Testament. The word Christian, 3 times. See, we think we know what it is to be Christian, but do we really understand what it is to be a disciple? The fact that it's used 269 times should give us a clue that it's quite important and we should have a good grasp on it. Amen? Cool. So today we're going to do that. The Greek, the New Testament is mainly written in Greek. And the Greek word for disciple is mathetes. I don't even know if I said that right, but I'm going to go with it. Mathetes. If you hate maths, I'm sorry. Because maths it is. The Old Testament uses the word Talmud. Now, the word Talmud and the word mathetes carry the same definition that they use the same word, apprentice, when you define them both. They share this meaning, and it's more than just learning from someone. It's this, get this. Apprenticing, learning and practicing in close proximity to your rabbi or teacher or master. Everyone good? Ready for the next level of it? It's this. Not just to learn from, but to become like. See, we can learn from the Bible, but are we becoming like Jesus? You can get head knowledge of the text, but do you have heart knowledge of who he is? And I think that's the challenge, and that's been the challenge for me. As we apprentice ourselves to Jesus, we talked about this last year a little bit, if you were around for that, and it's this idea, be with Jesus in prayer and his word and spend time with him throughout your day and listen to worship music. And be with Jesus. Live your life with Jesus. Become like Jesus and do what Jesus did. But today I want to give you another model. So don't throw that one out. But because I'm a teacher and I trained and I got an education at Waikato University, come on. I want to share with you a model of apprenticeship that learning theorists and educationalists would say are the 4 parts of apprenticeship. Here they are. Number 1, I do, you watch. Make sense? Cool. Number 2, I do, you help. Number 3, you do, I help. Number 4, you do, I watch. I believe this model is what we've just read in Matthew 28. Jesus has taken the disciples on this journey, his apprentices on this journey of I do, you watch. I do, you help. Then he sends out the 70 and he says, you do, I'll help. And then he ascends into heaven and he says, you do, I watch. More than that, I will be with you. His promises that he is in us. Now, as Bible-believing Christians, we believe that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, each one of us. His presence, his spirit lives within me. We just sang a song about it. And I will walk in your peace. Your presence lives, your spirit lives within me. My victory. He is with us. And he wants to desperately reveal himself to us as apprentices of Jesus. Are you with me? is it kind of give it a bit more detail, eh? This word apprentice. Is that there's a purpose to it. We're learning from him and we're learning to be like him. Number one, I do, you watch. Like my teaching training, the place where I started was observation. We turned up to Narawahia Primary School. We walked into the classroom and the teacher was like, hi, how's it going? You guys sit at the back and watch what I do. And we did, and we wrote down lots of notes and all of that kind of stuff. We started with observation. It's a great thing to do, especially when you become a Christian for the first time or you're new on this faith journey, you're coming back to it. I would spend some time doing this part of apprenticeship. Observation. Are you all good? You're all looking at me and you're not asleep, so that's great. I'm going to keep on going. When we start our apprenticeship to Jesus, we come to church and observe what is done. We learn to pray by watching others how to pray. We read the word. We're encouraged by each other to do things and to see how things are done. We hopefully would see people and watch people with that have memorized scripture, speaking scripture over each other and encouraging each other, being generous, giving, serving others at a community kitchen, fasting. Gathering as a church like we have this morning to worship and hear teaching, putting God first, observing the daily rhythms of apprenticeship to Jesus. Cool? There's a problem here though. There's a problem here. We get stuck on this part. We get stuck because we like this idea of just observing. We come to church, we're here, we observe, you know, we learn something from the message, all the rest of it. You know, we're there, but we wouldn't say that we've moved on to the next part of apprenticeship, which is, I do, you help. Are you with me? Don't get stuck in the observation part. But actually, maybe this morning, not because I've said so, but because Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you, will be, hey, what's my next step? Now, that's true for all of us as Christians. We should be asking Jesus, what do you have for me today? We should be waking up in the morning and saying, God, thank you for this day. What do you have for me? Pastor Luke prays this prayer every day. He tells me, he says this, he wakes up and he says, Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me into all truth. What a great prayer, because it's from Scripture. It's like prayer on steroids. When we pray scripture over our lives and God's promise and his word over us, amazing things happen. And here's the thing. If we don't get stuck in the observation phase, we get to move into part two, which is really exciting. I love it. It's this. It's getting involved. See, the journey of my faith was punctuated by mentors and friends who invited me to my next step. You don't need to be invited to head into your next step. But maybe, hopefully, as a church, we invite you to be a part of a small group, be a part of a team here at church on a Sunday morning to help serve the church. We maybe invite you into developing yourself and growing in your apprenticeship to Jesus. One of the ways we want to do that is by encouraging you in an easy step. Because it can be uncomfortable turning up to someone's house to join a group that you don't know anyone who's there. I get it. It's uncomfortable. You turn up to someone's house and you're like, is this 27B? I don't even know if I've gone down the right driveway. And yet, I don't even know if I know anyone who's going to be here at the group. Let me tell you, it gets uncomfortable, but it doesn't last long. In fact, it will be quickly replaced with a joy of Christian community. So I'd encourage you, if you haven't been a part of a group, get into that. It's a great thing to do. It's stepping into step two of apprenticeship. It really is. Can I just make it a bit easier for you as well. And in term two, on the 29th of April, we're going to start and grow night school here at North. So on Monday nights, we have Alpha, which is an amazing foundational program to help you understand what following Jesus is all about. We're also, for the first time ever, going to start another global kind of Christian course called Freedom in Christ. Yeah, I got some whoops over here. It is an incredible biblical-based course that will bring freedom to your life. Another one we're doing is Alpha Pre-Marriage. If you're getting married, come and be a part of that. We're also going to do the Alpha Marriage course. And I really want to encourage you on this. I hear it time and time again. People kind of have this mentality of saying, if my marriage is not in trouble, it's fine. Dibs and I, we've been married for 17 years, and every year of our marriage, we've committed to doing something to invest into our marriage. A course, an online thing. We did a lot of that during COVID. At every single time we've done that, it's grown our marriage. And it's gotten better and better and better. Can I encourage you? I believe there's people here today, married people. I'm talking to married people. Is this, if you've been going through your marriage and you're like, yeah, it's okay. And you've been thinking about this idea, can I encourage you? This would be a great thing to do. Invest into your marriage. You know why? Because God is going to work through your marriage. He's going to make things better than you thought possible. And then you're going to go to other people and go, man, you've got to do this course. It's going to change your life. You're going to become a disciple into a disciple maker. I believe that's true today. I believe some people have been saying this line to yourselves, and it's this. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. It's the same of our faith. So step one, I do, you watch. Step two, I do, you help. Step three is this, you do, I help. Cool? See, it was almost automatic, but in my faith journey in church, it was this, is that I would start this process of just kind of finding myself weirdly leading a group or leading the music team at Hamilton South Baptist Church. I'm like, how did I get here? It's because I stepped into this third part of apprenticeship. I became the one inviting my friends along. I became the one kind of getting someone on team. I became the one who was starting to lead the charge. Very quickly here at Life, Debs and I found ourselves in the same position. We were leading a small group. And we're like, how did we get here? But this is the important thing. The Holy Spirit will do the leading. There was a lightness to it. It didn't feel forced. Part four is this. You do, I watch. And it's the part where God wants us to be, where He would, I would say, be most proud of us as we step into being disciple makers. The same commission He gave to the disciples, He gives to every single one of us. And it's this, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Now, if the team would join me, I think this is a great thing to mention, that I wonder if you've heard today effort, if you've heard do more, work harder, be better. I hope you haven't heard that this morning. In fact, I'm going to quote from the book of Matthew again. The words of Jesus in chapter 11, He says this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. What a great line. As we walk and work with Jesus, watch what happens next. Watch how I do it. There's that observation phase. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Do you need that this morning? Do you need to hear that this walking with Jesus is a freely and lightly life? It is a life of beauty as we walk and work with Jesus side by side. We will learn and we will become like Him, but it won't be a forced thing. So in this moment, I'd really love to just invite us to close our eyes and have a moment of prayerful reflection. So I don't want this to be a moment where you feel forced, because it's not. It's the unforced rhythms of grace. And I love this idea that God doesn't put anything ill-fitting on us because he knows our fit. He knows your shirt size. He knows what he made you to do because he made you. He knows what will fit best in your life. His plan for you is good, pleasing, and perfect, Romans 12:2 says. But this morning, I want to call to mind a few things as we're in this moment of stillness with our eyes closed, that it would be this. Maybe God's calling you to come back to walk closer with him. Maybe you've been away from him. And this morning, he's saying to you in your heart in this moment, come home. Could be calling you in a specific area of your life to watch how he does it, to then grow, to help, to develop, to grow in his likeness. Maybe it's a night school course that he's calling you to. Maybe it's something tangible. You know what it is in your heart that he's leading you to. Maybe it's saying, I want more from my marriage. Maybe today he's simply saying, would you get to know me for the first time? Maybe you've never known what it is to be in relationship with Jesus, the creator of all things, to discover that there is a God and he is good and he loves you and has good plans for your life. Maybe he's highlighting a person that he has, that he wants you to walk beside and lead an apprentice, that you would become a disciple maker. Let's just be still. Lord, would you speak to us this morning? Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts? We want to apprentice ourselves to you. Lord, would you help us? Would you lead us? Would you guide us into all truth? Holy Spirit, would you be our comforter? Would you be our peace? Would you be our joy along this journey? In your name, Jesus. Amen. I'm not really a quiet guy, but I love quiet moments. And I also love the fact that our God isn't a distant God. We celebrated Easter and Jesus came to live on this earth, to die and to rise again so that we can know him. There's a great German pastor and theologian. His name's Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And if you've heard of him, you'll know that he's a great guy. He wrote a lot of books. One of his books was called The Cost of Discipleship. And in that book, he says this: it is only because he became like us that we can become like him. See, God didn't stay at a distance. In fact, Jesus came to earth so that we might know him. It's pretty simple. One of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16 says this: for God so loved, he didn't just send Jesus, he sent Jesus because he loved. He gave us his one and only son that whoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. This morning, by believing in him, you can step into this life with him, step into this apprenticeship to him, this beautiful, free and light life. But it starts with a moment. Romans 10 verse 9 says this: if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's a moment. It's a moment where we turn from maybe our own way in our own life and we turn to him and we start walking in his direction and his discipleship and his apprenticeship. So this morning, I'd love to give you the opportunity to simply make that decision. We're going to pray a prayer in a moment. You can start that journey. Right now, if you wouldn't mind closing your eyes, I'd love this moment to be kind of private. I don't want anyone looking around. I don't want you to feel like when you respond to this moment that people are looking at you. I will be looking. But if God is speaking to your heart this morning, and maybe you don't know what it is to even start this journey with Jesus, or maybe you do know what it is and you'd say this morning, you know, I'm not there. I need to get right with God. They want to give you this invitation while everyone's eyes are closed and no one's looking around. If that's you this morning, if God's speaking to your heart and saying, this is you, I'd love you to pop your hand in the air so I know who I'm praying for. Great decision up the back. Great decision down the front. Great decision. Anyone else? Yep, great. I see you over there. Out the back there, I see your hand. There. Great decision, man. Champion. Over there to the side, I see you. Right now in this moment, I see you. Great decision. Just going to leave it a little bit more. So I feel like someone's kind of wrestling with this. And you know what? Yeah, there it is. Great. Great decision, love. Great decision. He sees you. We're going to pray a prayer real soon. It simply says this, Jesus, I need you. I'm going to put my trust in you. Help me to follow you. Help me to be apprenticed to you. Discover the life you have for me. We're going to say it all together as a church, and I want to single you out. But if you raised your hand this morning, I want you to pray it with a boldness out of your heart, like we've just read from Romans, that if we believe in our heart and declare with our mouth, our words. So just repeat after me. Here we go. God, today, I need you. I want to put you in my life as number one. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me, that you would set me free from my past, from the wrong things I've done, so that I can walk into relationship with you. Jesus, I declare this morning that I will follow you. I want to be apprenticed by you. And I want the life you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You know, you've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at Church Online. To find out more about Life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.